Tom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Ian Pryor is a dream talk radio guest. He's so provocative, so articulate, and you got to get, we'll tell you how to do it, the Daily Malarkey every day. I thought it used to come down around 4 o'clock. I seem to be getting it in the morning now. We'll find out about that. But he's in the center, Loudoun County, of this allegation, and it seems to be it's moving forward that this it seems plausible, of a sexual assault in a bathroom. And the school board did nothing about it or little about it because they were in the throes of advancing transgenderism, and it involved, allegedly, a male who was gender fluid, and you can imagine that's difficult for this completely progressive school board to face. Ian joins us here in Philadelphia on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Ian, welcome back. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, Dom, thanks for having me.
Now, in fairness, and we trust you, second to none, Azra, same thing, Nomani. This seems to be outlandish that this guy would take it and then show up at the school board, meaning he didn't go to the police, he didn't press charges. The dad that we all saw rolling on the floor with the police. Why was that, that nothing came of it until we saw that scuffle at the school board meeting?
Well, so, you know, my understanding, especially from reading the report, a press release from the Loudoun County Sheriff's Office, who, you know, I certainly trust their work, is that it was handled by the police on May 28th. But because there were complications, namely that the victim and the alleged assailant knew each other, nothing was announced because they didn't want to compromise the integrity of the investigation. So nothing became, you know, even public until July 8th. When the Loudoun County Sheriff's Office submitted its evidence to the Commonwealth Attorney and the alleged assailant was arrested. So that is why there was a delay between when the incident occurred and when he was arrested.
Now, Ian, the school board seems to acknowledge something in the last couple of days. What have they acknowledged?
Well, you know, not much. Fortunately, believe it or not, the Commonwealth Attorney was the one that confirmed yesterday that this is the same individual that's involved in both alleged assaults. But what we saw yesterday was a statement from Loudoun County Public Schools that was as interesting for what it said as what it didn't say. It said that the Loudoun County school board members were not aware of any specific details of this incident until news reports. Well, they didn't unequivocally say that the Loudoun County school board members were completely unaware. So you can extrapolate from that that at least some of them were aware of general details involving this incident. Moreover, the release did not say that the superintendent was not specifically aware of the incident. And that is where the real concern begins, because at the June 22nd meeting where, you know, Mr. Smith was arrested, the superintendent was up there and said, "I am not aware of any records of assaults in bathrooms." That was clearly false. Beyond that, knowing what he knew and the fact that on July 8th, the sheriff's office had concluded its investigation, the school system could have done its own Title IX investigation very quickly, certainly before the school year, and, you know, attached appropriate discipline and made sure that this alleged assailant was not back in a school where he could commit another alleged assault. So we have two issues here. One, dishonesty from the superintendent, and two, complete neglect of duty by allowing this alleged assailant back into public school.
Now, big picture, too. This one jumped out at me. Ian Pryor with us. Last year, Virginia Democrats passed a law eliminating the requirement for school officials to report many crimes on school property law enforcement, including some sexual assaults. Maybe that emboldened them. Maybe that was in their mind here. And that, Ian, gets to the significance is not just the transgender debate and gender fluidity and all the stuff that people say can come out of this, but this gets to McAuliffe, the whole thing with parents in the schools. And the McAuliffe race right now is used as a barometer nationwide heading into the midterms. That's what happens in these off-year elections in Virginia and places like New Jersey. So this is beyond intense, in addition to the human element of this.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, we are a couple of weeks out from an election, and I get asked this a lot, is this some ploy to get, you know, Glenn Youngkin elected? And absolutely not. I mean, we've been at this, many of the parents have been at this for 2 years. I've certainly been at it for about 6 or 7 months. But, you know, smart political candidates will see what is happening with their potential constituents, and they will react to it. That is the political process and how it is supposed to play out. That is what you're seeing from Glenn Youngkin. That is what you're seeing from the attorney general candidate, the lieutenant governor candidate. You're not seeing that from Terry McAuliffe. You know, he wants to brush this all off as, oh, these are just a couple of wacko conspiracy theorists, racist parents that should have no say in, you know, how the education system for their children is shaped. That is not going to get the job done here in Virginia.
No, without a doubt. So what happens next, Ian? Where are we right now? What happens next?
Well, I can tell you, I'm on my way to a press conference right now that we are holding in front of Loudoun County Public Schools, where we are going to reiterate our call for the superintendent to be terminated, lay out the evidence and the facts as we know them and that are incontrovertible. But we're also going to ask the school board to commission an independent law firm to do an independent investigation to see how the system failed, where there have been other failures with respect to sexual assault, recommend processes to fix the system, and release that report publicly. You know, the Loudoun County School Board paid $500,000 to a company called the Equity Collaborative to do something, you know, similar on, quote, systemic racism in schools. Certainly they can spend the money to make sure that the sexual assault reporting system and keeping our children safe is done appropriately, effectively, and efficiently.
Well, too, no change, though, in the gender fluidity and all this. And a guy who's biologically a male, I guess we believe, I'm just going by news reports, having access to females in the locker room or bathroom or anything like that. And not just one assault alleged, but two. What do we know about the second assault?
Well, what we know is it happened at a second high school, Broad Run High School, where this individual allegedly, you know, trapped a girl in a locked classroom and groped her. She immediately reported it, to my understanding, to the school resource officer. And because it didn't involve sort of this complicated issue of her knowing the alleged assailant, the sheriff's office was able to put out a report immediately. And once that happened, you know, people at Broad Run High School, you know, started talking to their parents, and, you know, the identity of the individual became clear to these parents. And when that got back to the Smith family, you know, two things came together, and it was, wow, you know, I think this is the same individual, and the Commonwealth Attorney's Office has confirmed that.
Unbelievable. Now, the Daily Malarkey, right? I seem to be seeing it in the morning. Maybe I'm keeping different hours. I don't know, Ian Pryor. When do we get the Daily Malarkey each day, and how do we get it?
So you got to go to dailymalarkey.com, sign up. It's a great product. You know, we kind of call BS where we see it at all aspects of life, whether it's sports, entertainment, politics, general culture, you know, issues in the United States. And I can tell you, so there's a couple of people that contribute to it and help found it. I wrote a bunch of them at the beginning, but since this school fight has really gotten going, it's really been under the stewardship of one of the other co-founders, Jonathan Grella, and he's the one that decided to start doing it in the morning. So I've had a couple of people say, hey, wait a minute, what?
you're also the head of fightforschools.com is the other place to go, right?
Yes, that is right. Fightforschools.com. You know, we started this because we wanted to get a seat at the table at our local school board to discuss, you know, important policies like what we're talking about. And we've been met with nothing but, you know, vitriol from the school board, or most of the school board, the school system, and a couple of activists. So really, we've become...
Well, here's what I'll say about all this. Dan and I'll speak for myself, too. I think Dan concurs. We have a lot of faith in you. And just the interview you've done today is very balanced, very factual. And that's where we want to go, rather than on, as the other side would do, a witch hunt over this stuff because of the transgender issue in the background. And it seems to me there's enough here to proceed legally and get to the bottom of this.
That, I think, was really important. I mean, the issue here is that there was an alleged assault. However that happened, whoever was involved with it, you know, ultimately, he issued a statement about it, and you know, and this kid was let back in school.
Gotcha. Ian, good luck with that today. Fightforschools.com and Daily Malarkey. Ian Pryor, thank you. Thanks for coming on, as always.
Thanks a lot, Tom.
All right, Ian Pryor there. Dan, does that make you feel a little bit better hearing that? Because, look, we're not going to put something on the air just because it plays into a narrative. Aha, he was wearing a skirt. He's in the bathroom. He's gender fluid. And as people fear, he groped or sexually assaulted or attacked her allegedly. How do you feel now?
Well, I'm happy Ian came on, and I'm happy to have more of a light on the situation. Again, it's a hard situation, because my point yesterday when we had a conversation behind the scenes was I don't want to jump full force myself personally into believing this solely because it sounds so crazy. Like, it sounds absolutely ludicrous.
Yeah, the skirt. He's in the skirt, and he's a male, and he's
right
in the bathroom.
And it seems like it's written almost for Republican narratives. Almost.
Exactly.
So I had to question it, but according to Ian, it seems pretty legit.
Right, and then you have the governor's race, and this governor's race determines how the parties and countries see where we're going. I know it's crazy. If Cetarelli would win in Jersey and the Yumpkins, whatever it is, in Virginia would beat McAuliffe, which I think he's going to do, people take notice of stuff like that. They react to this because it's the only political races other than school board out there.
Dom Giordano, weekdays noon till 3 from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.